ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एस् आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we have been discussing about how this Gayatri Mantra is called Shabda Brahman. In that connection, we have to remind ourselves, there is a special philosophy of Brahman, Shabda Brahma philosophy. It is called Sphota Vada. Sphota means spontaneous explosion, the theory of sound. Vada means theory or a particular branch of philosophy. A basic doctrine underlying this theory is that everything, even the hardest rock, is nothing but vibrations. And yesterday I explained that everything is consisting of atoms. In Sanskrit they are called Anu or Paramanu. According to Nyaya and Vaisheshika, the whole universe is consisting of nothing but these Anus. So when one Anu gets mixed up with another Anu, then it becomes something, some change takes place. Anyway, this is that theory. Then three atoms, then multiple atoms, and everything is nothing but a combination of atoms. And this is very important, crucial. Every atom is vibrating, moving at mind-boggling speed. This is the theory of vibration. When somebody speaks, it comes to us in the form of vibration. These vibrations are gathered in by some instrument, for example, telephone on one side converts them into electromagnetic pulses, then on the other side converts them into sound vibrations. So that is how, if we are familiar with those sound vibrations, then we understand what the other person or even an animal is trying to tell us, convey to us. So everything in this universe is vibrating. And music, this is the theory. So according to Hindu rishis who discovered this science of music, is nothing but certain vibrations are very positive, certain are very negative. When these positive vibrations come into contact with our vibrations, remember, I am not out of vibrations, I am not non-vibration, I am also. My body, my mind, whether it is heaven, hell, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, everything is nothing but pure vibrations. But certain vibrations, when they encounter other vibrations, then the effect could be positive, negative, or neutral. That is how certain types of words, certain types of music, certain types of smells, certain types of tastes, everything is a vibration. It interacts with us and it can change. This is another beautiful theory of satsanga. In the presence of great people, their thoughts will be vibrating, and those vibrations effectively influence our behavior, and they, if we persistently, consistently cultivate their company, then those vibrations slowly bring about a positive change. This can be done even by a touch. How many people Sri Ramakrishna used to put into higher states of vibration, called higher states of consciousness? Of course, we have to understand, consciousness itself is not a vibration. It is beyond any experience. But when we are talking about lower or higher states of consciousness, we are talking about our state of the mind. So, from when our identity is moving from a lower state of consciousness called lower chakra to a higher state of consciousness, of which Sahasrara is complete identity with the highest, we have to understand that at the level of Sahasrara, there would be no vibrations. It is beyond all vibrations. And it has a peculiar name. It is called Para, Supreme, like Parabrahma, Para. Then when it comes down to an unmanifest, but a grosser form of Para, it is called Pashyanti. And when that Pashyanti becomes available to the mind, that is called Madhyama. And when it is expressed through speech, it is called Vaikari. So this is what Swami Vivekananda also wants to tell us. The basic doctrine underlying this theory is that all this hard and tangible universe which we see in front of us is made up of different kinds of vibrations and energies. The things which appear so static, solid and real are not really so. Furthermore, rishis have discovered that the universe of thoughts and emotions have also the same material basis of vibrations and play of different kinds of energies. Now another idea is introduced here. Every vibration is an expression of energy, prana shakti. Even subtler worlds like swarga, naraka, heaven and hell are also but a play of different vibrations and energies. Further, all these vibrations are interconnected and can be traced to one primary fundamental reality called Shabda Brahma. Are we sure that these are all derived from one ultimate source? There is only one way of knowing fully, and that is through direct experience called Samadhi. This is the philosophy of mantras in short. So, Swami Vivekananda is elaborating on this. Think of the universe as an ocean of ether, consisting of layer after layer of varying degrees of vibrations under the action of prana. In this universe, there is one continuous substance on every plane of existence. Physically, this universe is one. There is no difference between the sun and you. There is no difference between the table and me. Each form represents, as it were, one whirlpool in the infinite ocean of matter, of which not one is constant. It is a constant change of the one huge mass of matter. One point is called a moon, another point a sun, another a man, another the earth, another a plant, another a mineral. Not one is constant, but everything is changing. Matter eternally concreting and disintegrating, coming together and going back. All this is bringing of the mind into a higher state of vibration is included in that one word in yoga, samadhi. If you can simply get to that subtle vibration, you will see and feel that the whole universe is composed of subtle vibrations. Thus, even in the universe of thought, we find unity. And at last, when we get to the self, we know that the self can only be one. So, this is what Swamiji had to say, that the foundation of the mantras is to help us gradually raise our consciousness to the highest level of vibration possible for a purified mind. Thereafter, the purified mind would be made to merge in the unmoving mover called Brahman. Brahman, para, shabda Brahman, that is indescribable, beyond the mind. What we have been talking so far is our experience of that Brahman in the form of vibration called Shabda Brahma. Now coming to our topic. Every day, millions of Hindus, especially the Brahmins, repeat the famous Gayatri Mantra at dawn and dusk with deep faith and sincerity. They believe that the repetition of the sacred Gayatri Mantra with devotion will bestow both prosperity and liberation. I told you earlier, there are two sides to this repetition of Gayatri Mantra. Depending upon the person who is trying to repeat, what is his goal? Does he want to live long and enjoy this world for a long time? And he is not a person to be classified as separate. In the course of evolution, like children growing up, we all fall into that category where our attention is completely focused upon our satisfaction of the body and mind, for which we try to acquire wealth, property, position, etc., etc. Only after long time of experiencing, then we understand, then only we understand that all our endeavor is not to obtain anything separate from us, but Atma Jnanam, because everything is me. When a person says, I am Brahman, he says, I am the all. There is no subject, there is no object, there is nothing separate from me. So it is ekam advitiyam, ekam eva advitiyam, na dvitiyo asti. And this mantra not only is in Sanskrit, but practically every human being, when he says, may I travel, may I never become void, asatoma sadgamaya, lead me from death to immortality, lead me from ignorance to illumination, lead me from misery to bliss. These three famous mantras occur in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. They are popularly known as Abhyaroha. Aroha means to ascend. Abhyaroha means gradually to ascend. And in that order, we have to take it, understand it, that all progress is only in that order. What is that order? First of all, I have to have the instruments, healthy instruments, mind and body. That is indicated by the first mantra, may I live for a long time. Only then, what is the purpose? Through good and evil experiences, I will get knowledge. The whole of life is nothing but acquiring knowledge and wisdom. I am not talking about knowledge of sciences or economy or arts. I am talking about the real purpose of life, that I want to know what is the truth, what is the reality, who am I, koham, kastvam, kuta ayataha, tatvam chintaya, tadiha brataha. Brother, find out who you are, where from are you coming, where are you going, how are you going, etc. This is the only experience, only knowledge that is forced upon us, but it comes through varied experiences. I am happy, I am unhappy. The target for both is I. So who am I? That is the question. With every experience, albeit unconsciously, we will be questioning, who am I? Who am I? So, a Christian, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. What does he want? He is also telling, I want to come to you. I want to become like you. Muslim, I want to go to paradise. What is paradise? Sat, Chit, Ananda. Buddha's Nirvana. What is that Nirvana? I want to get rid of Dvaitam. That Advaita Sthiti is called Nirvana. Quenching every sense of duality is called Nirvana. So, now we will come back. We already know the mantra. Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yonaha Prachodayat. And this, if we analyze, there are five sentences. Om is the first sentence. Bhur Bhuvasvaha is the second sentence. Tat Savitur Varenyam, third. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, fourth. Dhyo Yonaha Prachodayat. That is the fifth. So the first two lines, Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha, is not part of the Gayatri Mantra. Only the last three lines, each consisting of eight syllables. 3 × 8. When a Vedic meter is consisting of 24 letters, syllables, that itself is called Gayatri meter, Gayatri Chandas. So, how did this Om, first sentence, and Bhur Bhuvasvaha has come? There is an interesting story. I have spoken of it a few times. But just for those who do not know, I will recount it in short. Vedas are there, and there was a man. He wanted to study the Vedas. And at that time, there were only three Vedas. Many times I mentioned a fourth Veda called Atharvana Veda, the discovery of Atharvana Rishi or Atharvana Angirasa Rishi, that had come much later and people started following it because it has many practical Vedantic applications, many mantras which can cure diseases, which can bring about prosperity or a desired object. Naturally, people at one stage, all of us at one stage, our attention is completely focused upon that. Like small children, they are focused upon not Einstein's theory of relativity, but on playing with the dolls, which is most appropriate for that particular age. So this person was advised to study the three Vedas. And then he looked and said, my God, each Veda is almost running to thousands and thousands and thousands of pages and in archaic Sanskrit language. Where from these Vedas have come? Their manifestation of the creator called Brahma. So he approached Brahma and said, sir, you have set a very difficult task in front of us. You advised us to study the Vedas and let alone squeeze the essence. Even the very study, gross physical study, a person cannot finish it. So you please make it simple. And then Brahma understood the seriousness of the situation. So he took up a big mixie. So put everything that contained in the Rig Veda and extracted the juice. And you know what happens. You take a mixie take various fruits and make juice out of it. Every particle of the juice contains the essence of every other fruit. So like that, this Brahma head brought out the very essence, and that is supposed to be, the Rigvedic essence is supposed to be Tat Savituh Varenyam. Similarly, Yajurveda, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, the essence. Similarly, Samaveda, Dhiyo Yonah Prachodayat. I will come to the order, in that order. Rigveda, Yajurveda, and Samaveda. Then, so these three have come. Tat Savituh Varenyam, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, Dhiyo Yonah Prachodayat, each consisting of 8 syllables, total 24 syllables, and it should be done in a particular way. That is why it is called a poetic meter, Vedic meter, Chandas. And that Brahma, quite satisfied with himself, I have done a marvelous job. He patted himself and gave it to this wise person. And this person tried to assimilate them. Then he said, "Sir, thank you very much. Like using ChatGPT, you have given the summary essence, wonderful. But I think, can you not shorten it further?" Then Brahma understood the situation. He took these 3 8-syllabled lines. Again, he put it in a probably smaller mixi. So the essence of the Tat Savitur Varenyam is Ubhu. Essence of the Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, that is the Bhuvaha, and Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat is Subaha. He said, "Are you happy now?" This man mumbled, "Okay, it is okay, but I wish you would make it even easier for me." So Brahma became a bit desperate. "Really, did I create this kind of dull universe, where even a human being is unable to grasp? Anyway, it is my prarabdham. Since I have created like this, I have to look after them. It is my responsibility." So he took Bhuhu and squeezed the essence. That became Om, what is called A. Then he squeezed the essence of Bhuvaha, it became U. And he squeezed the essence of the Suvaha, and it became Makara. And now man said, "Oh, this is wonderful." So A plus U plus Om. This is called Pranava. But the meaning, Swamiji explains in his Bhakti Yoga, what is mantra. It is one of the most marvelous explanations anybody will ever come across. What does it mean? Very briefly again, to remind ourselves, every sound starts at the bottom of the sound box, at the bottom of the throat. So the sound exerted by the lungs have to pass through the sound box. And when it first comes, just like air forced through a flute, it takes on different pitches. The first expression will be A. When it reaches the middle part of the sound box, the same A evolves into U. And when it reaches the end of the sound box, where both the lips come together, close together, it becomes Ma. And one cannot utter any letter that ends with Ma without closing the lips. You try not to bring the lips together and say Rama. One cannot do it. And what Swamiji wants to explain is, every dictionary, even the, just imagine, suppose there is the biggest dictionary which contains every word of every single language, and they all fall because they have to be uttered within this akara to makara. There is no other way. So therefore, by uttering that one syllable or the combination of 3 syllables called Om, akshara. One is uttering every sound that can be made, whether it is by a bird, by an animal, by wind passing through the trees, especially bamboo trees, or the throats of any living creature. Everything vibrates. Every sound, remember, is a vibration. Akara is a vibration. Ukara is a vibration. Makara is a vibration. Therefore, by uttering Om, he is uttering every syllable in this world. That means every syllable represents some object or the other. So, Om represents the entire creation, whatever be the name. And a name is nothing but a sound. A sound is nothing but knowledge. So, by saying, for example, a tree, and if it is in English language, if it is Sanskrit, it is vriksha. So, like that, every language, it doesn't matter what language, but the sounds have a meaning. There is no sound without meaning. And if some sounds are there, meaningless sounds, that is the meaning of those syllables. Meaninglessness is the meaning of some of these ones. So, by uttering this, because God is everything, and if you utter any particular name, God is represented only in the form of that smallest infinitesimal part of his being. But to represent the entire Godhood, Om is the only one in the whole world. And this explanation one has to ponder upon. So by uttering Om, we are uttering the word, the nature of God. But it is bhavana, it is vibration. And vibration means knowledge. So we are recollecting to ourselves knowledge of God. This is the philosophy of this pranava. And every Veda, Bible, Quran, Tripitaka, Guru Granth Sahib are the scriptures belonging to so many religions which have disappeared. The scriptures that are going to come in the form of saints. What is a scripture? The utterances of a God-realized soul is a scripture. So, in future, infinite number of saints will be manifesting. And whatever they utter will become a scripture. So, by uttering Om, a person is repeating every scripture. But if it is done with faith, with devotion, and with a prayer to surrender. That is why when Gayatri Avahanam is done, so Gayatrim Avahayami Ayatu Varade Devi Triakshare Brahma Samhitam. Brahma Samhitam means manifestation of Brahman herself. What marvelous things is every Sanskrit word as a beautiful etymological meaning. We will explore these things in future. So, this is the story how, first of all, Brahma propagated the Vedas, and when they became too much, he made them the essence of each of the three Vedas in the form of these three parts of the Gayatri Mantra. And if a person still deeply meditates, he will come to that essence of even these three lines. And if he still meditates and goes deeper, it becomes Om. Let us briefly explore this process. It is very important. So, Bhuhu, for example, what is Bhuhu? Bhuhu means this earth. This earth means what? The waking state, Jagradavastha. What is Bhuvaha? The Swapnavastha, dream state. What is Suvaha? Suva means the highest heaven. Highest heaven. The higher the heaven, the greater is the freedom. The greater is the freedom, the greater is the joy or bliss. That is why deep sleep is called Sushupti or Anandamaya Kosha. Why? Because there the whole mind, and what is the whole mind? The whole world. Therefore, the whole creation is merged in this Sushupti Avastha. So, a person becomes completely one with it. He merges, the effect merges itself into the cause. The gross body merges in the subtle body. The subtle body merges in the causal body. But if by doing spiritual practice, if we can merge this causal body into what? Into the real state called Turi Avastha. But what happens is, because it is called a cause, we have not purified our minds. So again, we will have to come back. For what purpose? In order to purify our mind. That is the simple truth that is there. So this is how we will have to understand this truth, marvelous truth. Now, coming back also, Bhuhu, as I said, represents the waking, Bhuvaha represents the dream, and Suvaha represents the causal state. Each one merges in its cause. Final merging is not the Sushupti, because it is still only a limited kosha, even though tremendous peace and bliss are experienced therein, and that is what our endeavor. Every millisecond, let me be Sat, let me be Chit, let me be Ananda. So, that is the same order. If we take the three lines of Gayatri also, Tat Savituhu Varenyam, what do we say? Entire universe is illumined. How is it illumined? Externally it is illumined by light. But light alone will not illumine. We must have the eye. Eye also will not illumine unless we have the mind. Mind also will not illumine unless we have the awareness. Chidabhasa. So Chidabhasa plus mind plus sense organ plus the external light plus external object or world. This is the process how we get this knowledge. So this is how when we observe for some time, of course, because of ignorance, we are just completely identified, merged, we go on playing, and when we are united with something favorable, we become excited, otherwise we become depressed. This play goes on. And then we get tired. This is too limited. That is how we automatically, this is the design of the Prakruti, nature, we must expand ourselves. And then we expand in the dream state. Dream state, the same time, space and object becomes so expanded. One can travel to the Mars with the speed of, or beyond the speed of light. Just think of Mars, you are in Mars. Think that you are eating a sweet, you are eating a sweet. Think that you are whatever you want to be, you can be. But even there are limitations. Then we enter into the cause, very cause of the dream state, which is called Karana Sharira. And then we understand that the subject object, which are limitations, they are overcome by becoming completely one. We experience this indescribable bliss. If fortunately everybody has this deep sleep, including the animals, they know what it is. They also get tired. They also enter. Every living creature goes through the gross experience, subtle experience, causal experience. That's why I make fun. What does a young male is dreaming of? A beautiful young female. And that is the natural reaction to every living creature. Don't think they are dumb creatures. You can destroy them, you can kill them, you can maim them, you can torture them. They are also us in our past births. We are those creatures. In course of evolution, we also had gone through the same experiences, and slowly we evolve. We learn What is evolution? How to get rid of the limitations. Getting out of limitation is called evolution. And slowly, slowly, we developed this human body where we understood that this is the instrument through which we can really get rid of all limitations by knowing what is truth. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So, what is the first part? Tat Savitur Varenyam. That is the gross part. What is the subtle part? Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. I have tried everything by hook, by crook, by right or wrong means, but I did not succeed what I desired. Then the only way is, O Lord, I tried and I didn't succeed and it taught me a lesson. I have to pray to you unless you give me the knowledge. So the Lord is waiting for that prayer. As soon as the child is ready or the young person is ready, immediately he says, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. We meditate. What is meditation? Meditation is upasana. What is upasana? Slowly approaching God and becoming merged in Him. Upasana. Slowly, slowly. And as Shankara defines it, we become completely oneness, attain oneness with our chosen deity. So much so that just as we can never succeed in thinking I am not the body, this upasaka can never succeed in thinking I am not God. Just as it's natural for us to think I am the body, so natural it is for a upasaka to think that I am God. And if anybody tells otherwise, he will find it just as we find it so difficult to think I am not the body. Same way, the upasaka who became one with his chosen deity feels it is impossible for him to think I am not my chosen deity. That is the definition of upasana by the great Shankaracharya. So when a person attains that one and the attempt to become one by approaching God nearer and nearer, by correcting our behavior, physical, mental, even causal behavior, we become one with that Divine Lord. That attempt is indicated in this second line of 8 syllables. Bhargo Devasya, that is the true nature of that Deva. Deva means Jyotira Jyoti. Dhimahi, we attempt to become one with Him. Simply put, we meditate upon that God. And then the third one is, we understand, no attempt by body, mind can never succeed. Then how to get what we want? You become merged. Sit in, to use the words of the Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, you somehow reach and sit in the lap of the mother. And mother will do everything for you. This is what every baby does. Even when it is learning to crawl, it crawls towards the mother, and the nearer it is approaching, the greater is its attraction for mother, greater will be the joy. Not only on the part of the baby, greater, still greater is the joy of the mother, because God cannot tolerate dvitiya, secondness, separatedness. So, God will automatically, like a magnetic hill, pulls the sincere aspirant into Him. He can thereafter never tolerate any separation from Himself. So, dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. I am not. You alone are. So, that is what Arjuna also tells. Until he told, Bhagavan never opened his mouth. Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. That word prapanna means apanna. Prakrushtena apannaha prapannaha. Complete atonement with the divine. That is, in simple English language, it is called complete surrender. I surrender myself to you. And I will, the question of, after listening to you, whether I do or I will not do, that doesn't arise. That is called Sharanagati. And that is what when Bhagavan questioned also, that is what exactly Arjuna said. Nashto mohaha smritir labdha tvat prasadat maya achyuta. And then he says, karishye vachanam tava. I will do. Why should you do? Sthitosmi gatasandehaha. All my doubts have been completely destroyed. And so, I know now that whatever you ask me to do is for my own welfare. And I have no doubt about it. Sthitosmi gatasandeha. No doubt about it. So, happily, joyfully, and at the same time, not selfishly, but as though I am serving you, I am going to do it. That is what the Divine Lord says. And then only, nashto mohaha. Moha means delusion. Delusion means misunderstanding, wrong understanding. And wrong understanding is opposite of satyam. It is called mithya. It is called asatyam. Marvelous teachings of our Vedas, we have to understand. So what is the third sentence telling us? That I have succeeded. I am surrendering totally. I will not be separate from you. Now you do whatever you like because these instruments are there. Body is there. Mind is there. Causal body is there. Whatever you want to do. You want to keep it? Keep it. You want to destroy it? Destroy it. That is the meaning of these three words. But as I said, there are two types of aspirants. The child aspirant, whose understanding is very limited, but the unconscious is urging even a child. Every baby, you poke a baby, it cries. What is it telling? Asato ma sadgamaya. Do not hurt me. Do not make me extinguish. Make me happy. That's why when somebody takes up the baby and goes on swinging, the baby's joy knows no bounds at all. We have to learn that lesson. But after some experience, the same child grows up. Grows up in understanding the real import of the Gayatri Mantra. And he says that why should I go on wasting my time in seeking small things? If I can get infinity, then my life's purpose will be completely fulfilled. That understanding will come slowly, slowly. And in this third line, that is indicating that now I understand by your grace. Because buddhi yogam teshamaham buddhi yogam dadamyaham. I grant them that right understanding. And you have granted me that understanding. That whatever is happening in my life is for my good. There is nothing but is called misery. You are creating misery. You have created hell. You have created suffering. No, no, no. All these are for my good only you have created. Even criminals also are sent to jail. Not because of hatred. Because of correction. The only purpose is, if you do something wrong, you will suffer because if you give misery to others, you yourself will feel the misery because others do not exist. See, if somebody steals from somebody and he's thinking, I'm getting something which doesn't belong to me. No, no, no. It belongs to you. So the other person's property is your property, but at the same time, your property is also the other person's property. So if you take away from him, it is as if somebody has taken away from you. When we learn this lesson, then the whole world is nothing but God. Instead of saying, I am Brahman, God is everything. That is the understanding that comes. So whether you call it Omkara, or three Vyakrutis, or three essences of the three Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, and Sama Veda, by uttering Om, That is the essence of all the Vedas. That is what we have learned in the Mandukya Upanishad, that Om iti etat sarvam, everything is Omkara, yad bhutam, yad bhavat, yad bhavishyam. Whatever was, whatever is going to be, is nothing but Brahman. Omkara is another name for Brahman. Marvelous ideas, we will explore them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.